Welcome back to 30 something and Virgin. I am like so excited that you guys are here with us tonight. I'm so excited to be back. And guess what? I'm back and I'm by myself. This quarantine shit ain't no joke. So I'm recording by myself. Extremely nervous, but I know I can do it because I can do anything. Black girl magic, Keela magic. But I'm going to be recording by myself today. My production manager isn't here. You know, the COVID-19, aka coronavirus, is running rampant in the streets. So we are all self-quarantining and keeping ourselves away from each other. But this two-week hiatus has like, y'all know it's Podcast Friday. So you know, we have to get it in and get it done. So we're recording today and I'm excited because a verger called me a couple of days ago and he was like, don't stop. And I was like, don't stop what? Like, what are you talking about? And I guess because I had not dropped another episode after the mid-season finale, he was like shocked, trying to make sure that, hey, I was coming back. And I was like, so you didn't stay to the end or something, because I said on there that this was the mid-season finale and that we were on hiatus. Because of all of this, we took an extra week just because I had to get prepared for distance learning and all of that. And I wanted to make sure that I was extremely focused on what I was doing with my students and making sure that I give 30 something and Virgin the things that we need. So we've updated websites, added information on there. So if you go to www.akeelamiles.com, you'll see information from there on there where you can, if you would like to become a guest host, click the button and sign up to be a guest host. If you are a guest host, I'll send you to that page so that you can go ahead and click the link to go and fill out the informational sheet that I need for you from you all. I'm sorry. When we're getting prepared to do this. So yeah, y'all, welcome back. I am super excited and I'm very hungry, so I'm going to be eating while I'm doing this. Tonight's episode actually will not be filmed visually. We'll only have this episode up on the podcast platforms. This episode won't be up on YouTube, but the next episode will. Just trying to try something new and see how it works when we just do the podcast and not do the visuals. So we're going to see how this one works. I think it's going to be pretty good because I have an awesome young man about to join me here in just a second. So this young man is from Lula, Mississippi, if I'm not mistaken. He's one of my favorite classmates. He's a doctor and his name is Dr. Maurice Ferge. He's gonna join us tonight and I'm gonna call him right now so that he can join in on our conversation. So tonight we're gonna be talking about generational things. Maurice and I held a conversation the other day that like really sparked some different things in me and that made me question certain things about like what's going on in today's society and like how we are as a people, as like Generation X, like what are we doing? Like what are the millennials doing? Like how everybody is moving and grooving within this space right now and dealing with what's happening. And I was excited because we were cracking jokes on Facebook and I was like, you need to come on the show so we can talk about this because you're a doctor and you facing this and da da da. We're not just going to talk about the coronavirus. Trust that, because ain't nobody got time for that. You see it on TV that it told you what you need to do. You should be abiding by those rules. But we're going to have a doctor on and I am going to ask him, like, why is it, how is it for him being on the front lines, getting him to say the things that he can say? And then we're going to jump into some other things. So like when you think about, like, people always talk about generational curses and all of those things. And I remember I had a friend talking about like she was breaking a generational curse in her family. And I remember I've said it a couple of times on Facebook too, and it's, I don't think that I don't want to call them curses anymore. I want to call them generational things that happen to have happened, right? Like generational impacts. I'm breaking generational impacts and I'm causing another series of things that will be impactful, right? There are certain things that were passed down through our lineages that were things that we just were determined to do. And Maurice and I are going to talk about those things. So I'm going to call Maurice right now so that we can get him on. He's probably going to kill me because I told him I was going to call him at 6 and I am 11 minutes late. But I hope he doesn't kill me.
Hello?
Maurice?
Hey, what's up,
Kim? Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I got you on 30-something and Virgin.
Oh, baby, listening.
I got you on. We're recording tonight, so I've already sort of like given people, I've welcomed them back to the show because, you know, we've been on hiatus for 2 weeks. Yes, and everybody, please understand that Maurice actually listens to Vergers. He's a real Verger. He listens to the show. He listens to the show. He knows what I'm talking about on here. So yes, we've been on break for 2 weeks and I'm excited to have Maurice on the show.
2 weeks too long.
Yes. 2 whole weeks. Like I just told them that I was like, I was gonna do it for 2 weeks, but come back that Friday, and then like when I didn't, I was a little down on myself. I was like, Akilah, you should have went ahead and did it. But I got so much stuff did with my school, like getting my babies together for a class, that was more important. So, Maurice, everybody doesn't know you. So can you give them a little background information about where you're from and what you currently do now?
Oh, man, I'm just regular old boy. Maurice Furs from rural Mississippi. With the Aggies, 2000 strong. From there, went to Alcorn State.
Yes.
HBCU, you know.
Yes.
After I left for Alcorn, went to medical school at James A. Quill College of Medicine in East Tennessee. A lot of school.
A lot.
Went into internal medicine residency and finished up there in 2014. And just been doing internal medicine work ever since then. I think last year left the hospital permanently, then started doing locum work. So kind of formulated my own company, first medical group. So I just formulated my own schedule.
Wait a minute. Hold on, Maurice. Hold on. Because you're trying to glaze over this. Because I thought you were still at the hospital down there. But you're not at the hospital. You have your own thing that you're running completely.
Right, I still go to hospitals, but I contract myself out pretty much. So I'm like a locum physician now. So, yeah, so I make my own schedule. If I don't want to work, I work. If I don't want to work, I don't work.
Come on, God.
So I am my own business.
He's a business, man. A couple of episodes ago, I was like, I am a business. I'm not a businessman. I am a business.
Yeah. Right. I mean, because what we find out, especially in medicine and probably other areas, is that you'll spend so much time making other people money, or people will use your gift to fund what their vision is. And when you look up, you'll be used up and they'll be giving you a gold watch and you've done nothing for yourself. And so, yeah, I've got my own business. I am my own business. And so that's kind of what I'm doing now on top of other businesses that I'm trying to get off the ground. But, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
That's a little bit about it. I'm trying to verge. I'm trying to verge. You know what I'm saying?
He's trying to verge. That's why he likes this show, because we're talking about the shit that we're on the verge of. Like, he's on the verge of a million things, it sounds like. And did you all hear that he said he was from Lula, Mississippi?
Lula. I didn't say Lula, but people nobody knows where Lula is.
What is it? What did you say it was?
I said a few people know where Lula is.
Yes, it's in the Delta part of Mississippi, right down by Jonestown, the other big city in Oklahoma County. Yes, yes, yes. So,
if you really live in a small town, you gotta be like, you know, close to Memphis.
Yeah, close to Memphis, Tennessee, about 30 minutes away from Cleveland, Tennessee, Cleveland, Mississippi. That's where we're at. If you've ever heard of Clarksdale, we're right in between Clarksdale and Memphis.
I'm in Clarksdale, you know. So.
You said you're in Clarksdale?
I said, no, just describing where Lula is.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Because we're all like really... really, really close. So when I started off the show, I like welcomed everybody back and I told them we were going to be talking about like generational things. I know like a lot of us like to say we have dealt with generational curses that have been passed down and we're breaking them and all of that. And I told them that I think that maybe we should, after our conversation the other day, I was thinking like maybe we should think about those in a different way, like think about generational impacts that have happened in our family and that have sort of matriculated down because nobody ever dealt with it, and like how myself, you, and other people are able to sort of unpack those particular impactful things that have happened to them and try to make a change in those particular ways.
Okay.
He said,
because there's so many different ways to come at that topic when talking about generations and or even what we mean by generations, because how we define it and what it actually is, you know, maybe two totally different aspects to look at it. What I mean is the way that the world or we just see it on television, they look at generations according to the year you were born. And so they got the baby boomers from a certain year to an ending year, Generation X from certain years, millennials from certain years, Gen Zers, and so forth and so on. And so, but in actuality, a generation is more so of a mindset. So I may think like a person that is of a certain generation, but I'm grouped in a certain generation. Does that make any sense what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so, and that's problematic because when I do that, doing something that we hate done to us, and that's strip a person of their individuality. Because I lumped you in a box, cast certain aspersions on you that may not fit you. You know what I'm saying? I might not do everything that what they say a Generation Xer may do. I may not think like every millennial may think, and so forth and so on. So just gotta be careful that I'm not putting people in a box. So I'm always very careful when I'm talking two generations or about generations, but that's not me, and I understand that. You know what I'm saying? We love our individuality, we embrace it. Similar to how some people will say all black people are da 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 da.
Yes.
Well, that may not be me, or all women are X, Y, and Z. Well, that may not be you and how you fit.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want to be put in that box, that restriction of who you are, your express, your creativity. But said all that to say, this in generation in general, and the impact that it can have on us, a lot of times we are shaped and molded by the previous generation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I find myself doing a lot of things the previous generation did. I think you gave an example when we talked the other day about going to the church because grandma went to the church and my family went there. So I stayed going to a church, even though it may not be a place that feeds me or helps me grow spiritually. I'm going out of what was a generational tradition.
Yeah. Like not having a desire to, well, not that it's not a desire, but you don't want to break what was traditional for your family. Like, this is the tradition. We go to this church. The tradition is we're at Mary Bethel or we're at St. Luke. I'm naming these churches because this is where I'm from, Jonestown. It's like these families attend these churches specifically, right?
You're going to call names.
But I love, both of those are great churches in Jonestown, Mississippi. But just saying, like, you don't want to be generalized based off of that. Like, you don't want anybody to put any, my students like to call them, well, they talk about the boomers all the time. Miss Miles, the boomers just need to go. And I was like, really? You want your grandparents and you want your parents' parents to die? Like, that's what you want? That's what you want to happen? And, like, their whole thing is, like, they generalize the boomers. They equate a boomer with Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right.
But that's not all. And that's why I was giving that caveat. Everybody isn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so just that alone leads to a lot of the disconnect that we see amongst generations, because what boomer have they talked to?
Yes.
And then vice versa, what boomer has talked to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But you have, like, but getting back to what we were saying, you have those situations where some things that are listed as generational curses or generational diseases or things like that aren't necessarily, you know, how to try to say things are in your DNA. That's not necessarily true.
Okay.
Science has found, you know what I'm saying? People are like, oh, I got the sugar and my mom got the sugar. I'm like, okay, what is the sugar? or the pressure, you know what I'm saying? These high blood pressure and diabetes.
Oh, the sugar.
You know, and they try to say, and they live, and they give up, and they blame it on, this is just in my DNA, it's in my genetic makeup. My people in my family have had it, I got it, I can't help it.
Yeah.
But don't get me wrong, you may be genetically predisposed to certain things. However, look at it this way. If my great-great-grandparents ate a certain way,
they ate every part of the pig. I ain't got to eat every part of the pig.
Exactly. But that's the way I grew up eating.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So if I eat like they ate, I'm going to get the diseases that they had.
Yeah.
And it's nothing to do with your DNA.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? This is just has to do with managing your body and certain eating habits that you have picked up.
So the word you just used, managing. What do you mean when you say managing? Why is it important to like manage these specific things, like anything in life?
My philosophy is managing is the crux of everything that we do. If you got a problem in your life, I'm just convinced that it's due to some form of level of mismanagement. I know we're virgin, so a lot of things that I tie into will be spiritual components. But I just believe that, you know, we're put here on the earth to manage. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
God says to manage his resources. We don't own anything. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's, that we're the Lord being owner. And the fullness thereof, the world and that they do, and that dwells therein.
Mm-hmm.
So everything belongs to God. We just have stuff in our possession. So we're to manage what is in our possession. So even our body, we're to manage it effectively, to use it for the purpose in which it was designed for. But so much we mismanage. We mismanage our bodies. We put any and everything in it that's not conducive to it functioning properly. We mismanage people. We treat them any kind of way in which they were not designed to be treated. We mismanage time in a manner we wasted. We procrastinate. We don't use it correctly. And so management is in, from what I view it, perspective wise, in everything.
I love and, it.
So I think that we mismanage our diets from that standpoint, talking about the generations and how we handle, you know, the food we eat or how we take care of ourselves or lack thereof.
Mm-hmm.
And so generationally, we have mismanaged the next generation. So if I mishandle the generation coming after me, then they're going to be in error in something because they've been mismanaged. They don't know anything else. They don't know how to do the right thing because they weren't taught to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they have to go and then reinvent the wheel or learn certain things that they were taught, you know, and that's a hard thing to do. It's like, man, some of the things our parents taught us was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Or some of the things that our parents taught us was incomplete, but it was the best they knew how to do. You see what I'm saying? So it's kind of like twofold. I am responsible for myself, but I was also mismanaged by some of the previous things the generation before us taught us. And coincidentally, our generation has mismanaged the generation that comes after us. You see what I'm saying? So that's just kind of how that goes, and the impact that it has on having, you know, great people coming before you, teaching you and guiding and teaching you how to manage well. If that makes any sense.
Yeah. So what I thought about titling this, and I'm still playing with it, Virgin, so you may see a whole nother title when I post it. I thought about titling this generational mismanagement, like thinking about like generationally how we all have consistently played a part in mismanaging everything that is here for us to manage. Time, health, wealth, whatever, relationships. Yep. We are mismanaging them in some way, shape, or form. And one of the big things that I pulled out of our conversation was like thinking about sometimes we don't. I'm blessed enough to have like classmates like you or friends, the friends that I have, where if I want to unpack something or spar about something and call and say, this is what I'm thinking, that I have that opportunity to say that with somebody and share those thoughts. And I think because a lot of us don't have someone to spar with, somebody to hold a conversation with and say like, this is what is going on. Or like, well, I brought my mom out here. She was recently on vacation. She had a surgery. And she had to be on vacation for a while, so I brought her out here. And every time I take my mom somewhere, what I do is when we're in the car, I hold a conversation about something about my family that I do not know. Like, I don't know my mother's grandmother. I never met her. She was dead before I was born. So, like, I ask questions about that, questions about, like, who did this, who cooked that, or whatever. And I began to learn in that way. I also watched my mom do... my mom and siblings and friends and family members do certain different things, like how they manage money or how they held certain relationships. So I'll give an example, and then I'm going to ask you to tag in on this. My sister, I'm going to go with a relationship. One of my sisters was dating a guy, and she was older than me, and her friends told her that he had did X, Y, and Z, and it caused this big family brawl. I mean, like his family and our family, like all our cousins and my brothers, like it turned into like this big thing. And afterwards, the next day after the brawl, my sister was back with the guy. So at that point, I was listening to my mom and my brother talk, and my brother told my mom, he was like, I'm not getting in Veen business no more. I'm not getting involved, because his words were, we done whoop this N's ass, and now she back with him. So if you do X, Y, and Z again, we putting ourselves in danger for something when she just gonna go right back. I was probably about 9 or 10. At that age, I learned that a couple of things. I didn't want to deal with anybody that was going to lie, abuse, do anything like that. And also, I was going to keep my nose out of other people's business. I wasn't going to come back and tell you anything, because 9 times out of 10, you could either use that on me or you were going to still be cool with the person. And that was going to create friction, right? So that's like something generationally, like you have some people who think like, oh, I'm supposed to go tell X, Y, and Z or do da, 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 da. But you then turn around and like, I feel like with these, so let's say with the Gen Zers, I feel like for them, for some of them, I'm not going to group them all together, but for some of the ones that I have taught, some of the ones that I'm teaching, their whole thing is they just want things done for them, and they don't want to take anything that you're showing them, right? Like anything. I taught a lesson today, and when I taught the lesson, I had a live class, and a student was like, well, Miss Miles, can you do da da da? And the da 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 was, actually, can I do the work in front of them so that she can see how I did the work? But in the Google document, it had my exemplar, my example of how I thought through the process. But she just wanted to see me guide it. And like for me as a Generation X, I, like my mom, she was a hard worker. So whatever it took for me to get whatever I needed, I would do. Right. However I needed to work, I would work. It was one point where I lost one job and then got a lower paying job, and I worked that job, and then I started working at Burleson Coat Factory to make extra money. And then when I got a better paying job, I kept working at Burleson Coat Factory so I could save that extra money that I had. Other people, oh, I got more money now. I'm making $15-$16 an hour now, so I'm gonna quit the other job. For what? This is gonna pay my bills, and this is gonna do this. Like, thinking about generationally these things that we see, like hard work or working to take care of stuff. How do you feel that generational mismanagement affects relationships?
As far as
any type of relationship, it could be a sister brother relationship, it could be husband wife relationship, it can even be, if we want to, I guess we would probably need to start would be with parents and children, because like my mom would say, what I had to learn for myself was that my mother was a human being first. And the things that she was doing to me when she was raising me, not saying that she was doing anything wrong, but the way that she raised me, she did it based off of the example that she was taught.
Right. And that is what is, it's good and bad.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And I get people to, like you said, that they are humans, and give them the benefit of the doubt. I think our parents did the best they could. I don't think any previous generation parent goes in trying to handicap their children in any way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so the thing is, for a lot of people, we teach from experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I had certain experiences growing up, and that's what I'm going to highlight. Like you said, you had the experience as a child that taught you, I'm not nosing people's business. I don't, you know what I'm saying, that you know, I don't put my business out there, or things like that based on the experience that you had.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's good. However, we make things that we've experienced a priority. For example, in a relationship, if you've been, the things that we highlight are based on not the relationship we got going into. It's based on the relationship we just probably came out of. So if I was lied to or cheated on, when I get into my next relationship, what's the priority?
Can't be lied to or cheated on.
Can't be lied to or cheated on. I'm not understanding that what I'm going into is not the same situation with the same person. So now I'm highlighting something based on something that happened in my past. Now, don't get me wrong, these things may very well be important. But now I'm going in with the lens of what's happened in my past, not taking into account what's happening in my future. And so what happens in passing things down in relationships or children, parents, things like that, is that we highlight what once was. For instance, when we came along, the previous generation taught us, go to school, get a job. Go to school, get a job. Go to school. They highlighted education because for them, they couldn't go to school.
Mm-hmm.
College was a premium. So they wanted to make sure that we got good grades and went to college and then got a job. Not taking into the account that the future changes. And so for us, it wasn't just after we graduated, 9 times out of 10, once you graduated college, you can't get a job in the field that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So what they taught you didn't really correlate now with the future that you're living in. So it's kind of just like, now I have to look at what they taught me, but then also look at, okay, this is the world and what it is now. So now I have to get more education. Now I have to try to operate in my purpose and things like that, or work hard in some areas that I may not have had to if, you know, my parents have had an experience. And that's the thing that experience does, is I can only teach you but so much.
But I feel like that's where we as, like, I'm sorry to cut you off. I feel like that's where we as, like, the people that are being taught something, that's where, like, our senses and things need to kick in, right? Because that, what I did with my sister, that was something, like, I understood that. Like, watching my mom, when I found out my mother was a diabetic, I immediately was like, well, let me go get tested to see, because I knew that diabetes was something that several people in my family had. My favorite cousin lost a toe, lost two legs, and then lost her life to diabetes. Yeah. So I knew that it was something that ran in my family. So I immediately went to go get checked and then started doing different things. And my nieces and nephews would start saying, well, Keela, now you eat like a white person. And I'm like, I do not. I eat healthy. Taste this.
And that's where you're going to have the divergence, play on words there, from the previous generation. Mm-hmm. And so the previous generation is going to impact you so much that you go along with what happened, or mm-hmm. what they taught, or are you going to see that I don't want that for my life and begin to do something totally different, diverge into a path that may be something that I don't want those same results.
Yeah.
So the example I often use is we don't want to work our job for 50, 40 years and not, you know, to spend time with family or to do something meaningful. Mm-hmm. So because we saw our parents and our family not be able to do certain things because they had to work, not be able to come to certain events that we had as kids because they had to work. And so some of us were like, you know what? That won't be our life. I'm going to spend time and things that are important, like the example you gave with health. I've seen what happens, and that's not what I want. So I'm going to diverge from that and do something totally different. Mm-hmm. And so it is the divergence that comes that causes the friction in the generations. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I've been taught to work hard, and I'm okay with that. But this new generation sees hard work like, man, that wasn't too hard. They could do this a lot smarter with gadgets and Google and information at the tip of their fingers. They're like, we can work a lot smarter. And so we'll take that as a divergence, as they don't want to work. And to a certain extent, that's true, but they're focused more on doing things a lot easier than putting in hard work. And in actuality, the two aren't wrong, because it's like, if they had what we had and we had what they had, we could go further. Mm-hmm. But that makes any sense what I'm saying. But because we're so antagonistic or don't see each other for the benefits that we could bring to each other, mm-hmm. then, you know, we'll complain about them just like they complain about us.
Yeah, I find myself all the time, since I've been in Houston, Texas, all of the time. I was a 12th grade teacher initially when I got out here, and then I moved down and I started teaching AP Lang this year. And with every class, I teach at KIPP, and one of the things that KIPP is about is to and through college. Mm-hmm. KIPP also, even if you decide like, hey, I'm not going to college, they are about getting you to and through whatever it is. I have a student that is now a Marine who just called me about 2 weeks ago and was talking to me about, you know, him being done with basic training. I have a student, two brothers, who both joined the Navy. One of them is in San Diego now, finishing up his boot camp and all those things. But I'm saying this to say that these kids initially, they would be like, Miss Miles, I'm sick of, we have a class, a senior seminar and a junior seminar class. Mm-hmm. And in their junior and senior year, so at KIPP, when you become a ninth grader, you start testing for the ACT, because the goal is to get your ACT score as high as possible so that you don't have all of that front loaded debt on you. And when I first got here and I saw the model of like how the school was set up, I was like, damn, I wish we had this at Aggie. And the kids were, and Aggie's a great school. Coahoma Early College now offers you the opportunity to go ahead and get your associate's degree while you get your diploma. So it's a great school as it has continued to evolve. But when I was there, I was like one of the less fortunate kids as far as having someone to depend on, having an adult in the space that I could depend on to tell me that X, Y, and Z were important things to do. to where at KIPP they have it all, and like my kids are always fussing about it. So I have to always give them an example of saying, like, if you weren't in a top percentage in certain schools, sometimes, especially in other schools that are not KIPPs or schools that don't have the funding to have a seminar class, to have a counselor that is actually a mental health therapist that helps you. You know, we have a time in class where they can have a tea time is what they call it. And it's where they go and they talk to the actual mental health therapist who helps them. They actually have a full time that they can go over there and do that. Then they have a regular counselor, a college counselor, and then they have like she's the therapist, that's their other counselor. And in explaining that to them, they still just get upset about it.